Is your life in God's hands? Are you willing to trust Him? Follow Him? Let's find out how God led in the Lossing family. Brother Jim.
Thank you. Before I forget, Pastor was mentioning different ways of preparing food. In Peru, you can also prepare food raw, fish, for example. We have ceviche, and you cut the cubes of fish and put it in lime juice, and that cooks it, they say. And with onions and hot peppers, it's really great. Alicia and I went to the country of Peru. We went with Sarah. We had been in Puerto Rico before for a year and a half. That's where Sarah was born. And we went to Peru the end of 84. Shortly after we arrived there, David was born in that following February. Sarah and David aren't here now. Sarah is studying nursing, and David is working, he's been working through the summer at Victory Ranch, and he wants to work for at least several months before he starts Bible school. But that's his goal right now. They're quite involved now in Riverside at Crest, so probably most Sundays they won't be able to come with the rest of us. They'll be staying here when we go back to Peru. So that's our. We'll be going back with just half of the kids. So that's a change for us and for them. And we appreciate prayer for them as they'll be in a different country. They'll be here in this country and we'll be back in Peru. We had been after we were in Peru for 5 years, we went to the country of Ecuador to help in a new work getting started. On our way to Ecuador, we came back to the States first, and Daniel was born here in Southern California. Loma Linda Hospital. But when he was only 2 months old, he went to Ecuador. And while we were there in Ecuador, Timothy was born there. So they have different... Timothy and David have double nationality. David had to register for the military before we left Peru. And then when he got here, he had to register for the military here in the States. So... He has his double passports and all of that. I think you all saw Alicia and Daniel and Tim. Go ahead and stand again, so everyone, even in the back, can see you. So we plan to be going back to Peru with just the four of us. We live in Trujillo, Peru. I teach in a Bible college. In the Bible college, a few years ago, there were about 40 students down from the years before that. But last year, there were 70 students, and this year, almost 100. So we're really glad when there are some students, because these people go from the college into the work, starting churches. Some missionaries starting new churches, some going as pastors to churches. In the last few years, it seems to be a little more organized. It seemed like at a certain time, maybe a few years ago, they would graduate and then who knows what would happen. But the churches seem to be, and the students themselves, they know where they're going. Most of them know, right? Where they'll be ministering. Some churches help their student quite a lot, and they know that when they graduate, they'll be coming back to the church and working in a certain ministry, at least for a couple years. Sometimes there's a new work being started. The church is starting a new one, and so the graduate will come out and become the pastor of that new work being started. And in some cases, the student during his school time contacts pastors in certain areas. Peruvians are doing a tremendous amount of the work. In Sullana, in the northern part, from the ministry of one pastor, there's been at least dozens of churches. They say over 100 or 200. I'm not sure how many there are exactly in all. Someone was trying to get a list of all the churches, many in the mountain areas, congregations, starting up in those areas. In some cases, someone would meet the pastor in town and come to know the Lord, and they would invite him to their village. We need to hear this gospel. So after a 2-week campaign, in some cases, almost the whole town, maybe 90% of the town of 100 people, would accept the Lord. Or maybe half of the town, or large groups of people. And someone would say, we need to hear this in our village. We're sure a mess over there, drunkenness and everything. Come over and we're doing this. So a few months later, they'd have a meeting in this other village, and again, a large percentage of the people would accept the Lord. And then it went from place to place, and there'd be groups of maybe 10 churches here, 15 churches over there, 20 churches in that valley, and so on. So many churches being started in these areas with their lay pastors, and the pastors, of course, need training. There's no way for the prepared people to go there and become. It would be difficult to become a pastor there because poor people out in the country, they wouldn't have enough money to pay a pastor. And even if there were enough trained in the Bible college pastors to go, some of them do go and help begin works. But in many of these areas, the people are poor; they couldn't be able to pay him. And the lay pastor has his own farm and raises his own sheep or goats, and is able to mostly support himself. So in some of these areas, there's a real need of training. At least one pastor who has his portable Bible institute, and he'll go travel from one place to another. The people in this one town will have a module for a week, and then in another town, another module. And I helped out once in one of those areas. It was quite nice to be there with them during a week of concentrated studies and for the people in that area to know the Lord, to know the Lord better, and be better prepared. So our actions as missionaries there in Trujillo, all of us are involved in teaching in the Bible college. It's always been a thrill to me to be able to teach people things that they didn't know before. I always like to study and find out things and open up the Word of God and help people to understand what it's talking about. And the things that I teach don't just stop there because they're multiplied. As the Peruvians learn, then they teach others. And it's like the verse in Timothy that says, "What you have learned of me, teach to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So that's always a thrill, teaching people who will be able to teach others also. And there's a great desire of preaching the Word. As we mentioned in the Sunday school class, most of the churches seem to think that it's their responsibility to start another church. I'd like just for a minute to imagine that we're in a church in Peru. Now, most of the churches that we know, the whole church property would be about the size of half of this church. And that would be a nice big area for a church property. And so on the other side of this wall, you'd have your neighbor over there. And the other wall would be here. And so the other neighbor would be right over there. And probably it wouldn't be this long even. But on the other side of that wall is the neighbor on the other street. And they're back at the back as you leave, just a couple yards is the sidewalk, and in our church in Ebenezer, just across the street in Catty Corner is a bar where all the drunks have their songs. They have their song service. They're well, sometimes while we're having ours, we have to try to sing loud to block out the noise. And in most of the churches, if you walk in the door in the back, in Ebenezer, for example, there's a big pile of sand there. And that's for future construction. And upstairs, there are probably a pile of bricks somewhere, and maybe some cement sacks for the next time when you have enough money, you're able to build a little bit more. Church buildings, it takes years and years and years to finish a church building. I don't know, are there any that have really been all the way finished? I don't know. They're all the way? What? Maybe it is. Most of the churches are always in the process of being finished. And you always... And then third one. But so with a church building, you have maybe a wall or two, or a permanent wall or two. But even so, they're ready to start churches in other areas. That's the case in many parts of Peru in the churches. I mentioned the word Ebenezer. I was pastor of the church in Ebenezer, and they're building little by little. Building up, and the church is growing. We had organized the church and helped them get the property the first time we were in Peru. And when we came back from Ecuador, we started attending that church, planning to probably start a church in another area. But the pastor was Segundo, and he said, "I'll be resigning from the church, be moving to Lima." And they had an assistant pastor, Julio. And Julio said, "I'm not ready to become a pastor yet. Pastor Lossing, would you stay here and work with me? It's like an internship. Until I'm ready to become a pastor." So that's what we did. That's what we've been doing in the last few years in the church of Ebenezer, helping Julio come to the place. We'll have some slides in the evening showing pictures of Julio. The church wasn't ready for him to become pastor yet either. One of the things was they wanted a married pastor, and he was single. So that was a problem he had to start working on, and he got that problem solved and got married. And the time came when Julio said, "Pastor, I think I'm ready." Good. I'll plan to resign at the end of the year. Plenty of time in transition. And as we were looking for our next area of service, we were thinking maybe we would help start a church in town, in a part of Trujillo that maybe even closer to our home. I thought it would be nice to not go so far. We went a half an hour drive over to church. And to just go closer, maybe about 10 minutes away, that might be a nice place to start a new church there in Trujillo. But we heard of the need of a church in Poroto, which is a town about an hour's drive outside of Trujillo. And that need was pressed in our hearts to help them there. The pastor was discouraged. Some of the people had died. Some of the key people had passed away. Some others had moved to Trujillo. Some people were discouraged, not coming to church anymore, and the pastor was discouraged, and everyone felt so bad. And we saw that was what the Lord would have us for this time, to help a new church. In some places, improved churches really spring up and grow fast, but then there are other places where things are sort of slow. And in this area, people were discouraged, and we saw the need of helping them. So it turns out, instead of just going a half an hour drive to go to church, it's a half hour drive to get on the bus to go that hour drive to Poroto, and the buses, they're actually combis, vans, made up to seat 20 people, and usually they get more than that in the van. But those only operate during the daylight. So we go up on Saturday afternoon, and Saturday evening we have the youth meeting. All the churches in Peru seem to have their youth meeting on Saturday night. And in Porto, it's not just the youth, it's everyone from grandmas to little kids. And so we're there on Saturday night and all day Sunday. And Monday morning, we come back to Trujillo. So it's a longer weekend than we had before. When we started going to Porto, as I mentioned before, the pastor was discouraged. Other people were discouraged there, and he said, I just can't do things right here. The people don't seem to respond. And although there was one person who especially did respond, his name was David. David was a young person in town who heard the gospel. The pastor knew him and witnessed to him, and David hadn't made his decision to accept the Lord, but he was coming to church, and he would stay with the pastor a lot. I don't know if he stayed in the church before he was saved, but he would go around with the pastor. Once a group of us came there to Porto, and he took us up in the mountains. He was unsaved yet, but he took us up on a hike in the hills. But I asked him one day, what was it that motivated him to accept the Lord? And he said, here I was coming to church all the time, and the gospel's really interested. I was interested in it. But he said, I hadn't made my decision yet, but he was coming to church, attending. And he said, this church is so, everyone's so discouraged, and there are so few people coming. The pastor's discouraged, and all, but if this church would fold up, it would really be really sad, because our town sure needs the gospel. We're really in bad shape here without the Lord. And so he said, I'll accept the Lord so I can help. Everything was just so discouraging that he wanted to accept the Lord so he could help. And so he started doing that. But that was impressive to me. Usually when things are discouraging, people don't want to go. But for him, when things were discouraging, that was his motivation to make his decision to accept the Lord as Savior. So a person who will never be discouraged by a discouraging situation is a nice one to have around, who will all be there. And so he started learning everything from the pastor that he could, and music and Bible study. And it's encouraging for us to work with David there. There'll be pictures of slides of them in the evening. One thing, it seemed that the church had the attitude, it almost seemed like they had an attitude that we're just sort of a younger sister of the churches in Trujillo. We need students in the Bible college to teach in the Sunday school, and if we have a vacation Bible school, we have to have someone from outside, because we're just a small church and we can't do anything ourselves. So during these last months, year, we've been trying to help the church grow together as a body, and I'd like to share a few verses of things that we've been teaching, some of the points of what I thought the church needed to be able to grow and to do things and work together. And Ephesians chapter 4, first of all, some verses there in Ephesians chapter 4. The church is a body. And it's a body that works together. I think perhaps the Peruvians, maybe it's from the influence of the Catholic Church, where the priest is up there and does everything, and the people are just observers. Maybe it's that kind of influence, but many people seem to have an idea that just the pastor does things. And we come to church to watch the pastor. And everyone should be involved. Everyone involved in the whole working of the church together. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, the perfecting of the saints. The saints are the believers. We need to be perfected. We need to grow up. We need to become mature. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. The pastor and teachers help the church to do the work of the ministry. It's not just the leaders who do the work of the ministry. It's the whole church that does the work of the ministry of serving other people. For the edifying of the body of Christ. The whole body needs to be edified. It needs to grow together. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We need to grow, that we be no more henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness wherein by they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth may grow up. We know there are areas in Peru where cults have come in. And in one area, there a group of about a couple hundred churches around the in the southern area, around the Puno area, churches that had been started by missionaries from Europe, Irish Baptists, and they because of anti-gringo activity, they kicked the missionaries out, and were. They needed more training, but groups would come up, Pentecostals and Seventh-day Adventists and Jehovah's Witnesses, and they get ideas. And, well, you're a Christian, come and preach to us. And all kinds of ideas in those groups, and they were led to and fro like children. And some of the leaders said, we need help. We need someone to help us. So they contacted our missionaries in Cusco. Would you come and help teach in our Bible college and help in our churches? Help us. We know that we're Baptists, but we don't even know what Baptists believe anymore. So in other places, in places in Peru, people have been carried away into Pentecostalism and into other ideas and groups. And so there's a tremendous need of working, of growing together. So you be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about. But 15, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. All of the body, all of the congregation, each individual working together in a body, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, by that which every joint supplies. Every person is an important part of supplying the need for the needs of the church, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Every part's working, it makes the increase of itself unto the edifying of itself in love. In 1 Corinthians, it speaks of different members of the body like different parts of the body, the Christian body, the church body. Like it says, some people are like eyes, and some are like a head. Some are like ears. Some are like the nose. Some people are like hands, and other people like feet. And no one is to be upset or feel discouraged because he can't do something that another member of the body does. It says, should the foot say, well, I'm not a hand, so I'm not part of the body. Because you could imagine the foot thinking, well, here, I'm similar to the hand. The hand has five fingers and I have five toes. But the hand gets to write, it gets to play the piano, it gets to hold things, the hand brings food to the mouth, and here I am hidden in these shoes. And I don't get to do anything. I'm so discouraged. I'm not gonna participate. I've tried to do this. I've tried to pick up things, and I just don't do it well. So I don't even want to come to church. If the feet aren't around, how does the body, when it's time to start walking somewhere, how does the body do it without the feet? Well, there's some things the feet does better than any other part of the body. And sometimes people get discouraged because there's certain things they can't do well. And he also says, neither should the eye say to the ear, what do you think you are? Why can't you see anything? And the ear doesn't see too well. But the ear can do something else a lot better than the eye can. And so nobody should despise anybody else because they can't do some of the same things they do. The eye is so concentrating so much on seeing that maybe doesn't realize we also need people to hear. And there are different kinds of ministries, different kinds of things that we can do together. But the church everyone needs to be working together, growing for the whole church to grow together. So, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working of in the measure of every part makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The body is edified, it grows together. There are, in Romans chapter 12, there's a list of activities or spiritual gifts that people do in the church. Sometimes it mentions prophesying. Now, if we limit prophesying just to telling the future, that isn't for us today. But some people believe there's an attitude of being against sin and talking against sin. But the other things that it mentions there. In chapter 12 of Romans, verse 7, ministry, that's serving. Let us wait on our ministering. Serving, like serving tables, serving one another. Or the teaching, verse 7, teaching. Some people minister to others, help others out by teaching. Or he that exhorts, that's like counseling, helping people get straightened out from their problems. Or he that gives, let him do it with simplicity. Giving. Another way to bless other people, to help other people, to rule or to be organized. Organize a group, organize things, committees and activities. He who organizes or rules with diligence. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness. This is reaching out to people who have problems, have needs. It's the idea of nursing. Or for me, it's the Good Samaritan who found somebody in tremendous need and helped them. There are many activities helping people who have problems, difficulties, and being really excited about people who are incapacitated or people who have these kind of difficulties. There are many different ways that we can work and help one another. But I'd like us to look at as we work together as a church, and as I was teaching the people there too in Trujillo, in Poroto, as we work together, there's some really specific things that it says that we can do. In 1 Thessalonians, no, first of all, Hebrews 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Hebrews 10, 24. First of all, verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful to promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, we need to be together because we need to exhort other people and help other people. In verse 24 it says, let us consider one another to do what? To provoke unto love and to good works. To motivate unto love and to good works. Now sometimes we come to church thinking of I sure need help. I'm coming to church, and maybe all of us in our lives, maybe that was the most important thing at a certain time anyway. I need help. I need to come to church so I can be helped. And that's good. We always need to be helped. But some people say, well, I didn't go to that church because they're not meeting my needs. And maybe that's Okay, but sometimes people are so concerned about their own needs and not really seeing other people's needs. I need to go to church so I can help other people. But let us consider one another. Look around at the other people. Other people in the church, others in the congregation. Let us consider one another to do what? As we look at other people in the church, to do what? To criticize them when they're doing something wrong? Well, what does it say? Look around to other people. Let us consider one another to provoke or to motivate to what? To love and to good works. So as we think of other people around, the Lord wants me to motivate somebody to love and to good works. Like in Titus it says, the older women are to teach the younger women to love their husbands and their children. That's a real specific example of motivating someone to love. Motivating another older lady can motivate a younger lady to love her husband and her children. And how does she do that? How can she do that? What are some ways that someone can provoke, can motivate someone else to love? Example, by living an example, is one way. Another way is actually teaching a class, maybe. Or maybe just kind of conversing, talking. Just conversing and just chatting together. A lot of good advice can come out just by conversing, just by talking with one another. Several ways to provoke or to motivate and to love. How can we motivate someone else to good works? Motivate to good works. What are some good works that we could motivate someone to do? Has someone motivated you to do a good work sometime, at one time in the church? Maybe someone once said, come with me and go over and let's go visit so-and-so. Or maybe someone said, let's go help so-and-so in their home. They need something done, maybe the lawn mowed or something like that. Any other example? What motivate unto love and to good works. Consider one another to provoke or to motivate unto love and to good works. Another example? Has someone motivated you, or have you motivated someone, or can you think of a way that someone could motivate someone else to do a good work? Why don't you come to an example? Mm-hmm. Sure. So come to church with me, or hey, let's read the Bible together. That's a tremendous way to motivate someone else to love and to good works. In the Bible college, we have students who come from many churches. Many students now come from Christian homes, but there are many who still are come from who've accepted the Lord, and their parents never knew the Lord. And some of them grew up in homes where there was a lot of problems. The stereotype of a Peruvian man is that he comes home drunk and beats up the wife and kids whenever they give skits. So many times Peruvians will give skits. And many times the father is a drunkard and all that. But he comes home drunk and beats up the wife and kids and sits down and demands to have his meal. And that's a stereotype. A lot of men who aren't like that, but many of them who are. And kids who have grown up in that kind of environment often have resentment toward their father. And sometimes in a class, in the Bible college, in a class, there'll be you can just sort of sense something negative in the classroom. And sometimes it takes a while to figure out, now, where does that negative attitude come from? Sometimes you can pinpoint it in a certain person. And so I'd like to, I always like to have a, get a private interview and talk with students and tell me the story of your life. And a lot of times they can, you can see there's a root of bitterness, an abusive parent, and some of the students still, even though they've accepted the Lord, they still hold on, they still, there's some of that bitterness is still there. And so just showing them and helping them see that, with seminary students who want to serve the Lord, they're usually just so eager, as soon as they see a problem like that, they're ready to solve it and ready to take care of it. And in many cases, it's just forgiving the offenses against us, forgiving a father or a mother or someone else, and getting that straightened out and freeing themselves from the bitterness, from the resentment. And that's a way to help motivate unto love, to motivate them to love instead of being bitter, help them to love, and to do good works. Those are some of the things that we can do together as a church. Well, we've enjoyed being in the country of Peru. We are looking forward to going back there very soon. And these are some of the things that the people there have been learning. We want to get back there into Poroto and help in this area. We're not sure exactly what will be after in Poroto. We don't know how long it will be there until things are going stronger and our people are more encouraged. But we know that there are churches that have been started up in the mountains, and we don't have very much contact with them in Trujillo. But some of them haven't prospered very well. There's at least one that folded up, and we know that there's someone who would like to start that church back up in that area of Samni. Maybe we'd be involved in helping in that kind of ministry when we're done. Some have been burdened about the big town up in the mountains, the center of idolatry, an idol center, and to be able to have a church up in that area, in Otuzco. So those are possibilities that are ahead of us in the area of ministry and churches. So we appreciate prayers in those areas. But as the churches there in Peru grow, and as we everywhere grow with the Lord, I hope we can remember to think, motivate, provoke one another, look around at one another, consider one another to motivate to love and a good work. Just before we pray, maybe you can think now, who in the congregation can I motivate to love? Maybe you already have been doing it. And maybe there's someone else that you could find a way. So how can I motivate so-and-so? Ask the Lord to bring to your mind someone that you could motivate to love and to good work, to do some kind of good work, do something together, bring someone along to help do something. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the work that you're doing in Peru. And Lord, thank you for this church and for this opportunity to be together. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I suppose this would be an appropriate time to tell the Lossing family that our church has already voted to take them on for $50 a month added support. It's not cheap to be a missionary, but as you give in your offering from this point on, bear in mind that some of your offering every week is going to go to help the Lossings to be faithful in the ministry that God has directed them to. Make it a point of going by the back table, looking at the displays back there, and you'll find that very interesting. Come back tonight. We're going to see some slides.